I'm Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and welcome to another episode of the Conversations with Authors podcast. In each episode of this podcast, I talk to an author about what inspired them to start writing and what tips they would give other aspiring authors. Is Ellen Watts, an award-winning author, coach, trainer, and cosmic orderer. I've known Ellen for a long time and have worked with both her and her clients on a number of books, so it was lovely to catch up and find out more about the journey that she's been on following the publication of her book, Cosmic Ordering Made Easier. Hello, Ellen. It's so lovely to see you again. So tell me a little bit, first of all, about your book.
Thanks, Alison. It's lovely to be here. So my book is called Cosmic Ordering Made Easier, How to Get More of What You Want More Often. And if you haven't come across the term cosmic ordering before, it's all to do with the law of attraction and positive mental psychology, working with the brain to really essentially become more lucky. That's really what it's about.
Okay, sounds like a really lovely concept. So who doesn't want more of what they want in their life?
Exactly.
So what inspired you to write the book?
It's a funny story, actually, because I always wanted to write a book, but it wasn't that one. It was going to be a help book, and still is. I'm still planning to write a book that's really about setting goals and making the goals happen and so on, and the steps to take towards that. But I'd always done this cosmic ordering thing, but just for myself, really. And I kind of kept it under wraps because it's not really as woo-woo as people think, but the term cosmic ordering sounds a bit woo-woo. So I sort of kept it close to my heart. And then one year, a whole string of events happened, and it's what I call God out of the closet. Mm-hmm. And then people started wanting coaching on it, and then I got asked to teach on it at the local college. And while I was doing the course, somebody said, "Oh gosh, you should write a book." And I thought, you know what, I could. I've got so many stories. I've got so much of it was not just how to, but the sort of fun things that I'd done with it and that other people had done. And I thought, why not? It would be an easy book for me to write. So that's really how it happened. And it was easy-ish. You know, writing a book still takes a fair bit of work, but I actually wrote the majority of it in about a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
A week.
I'd wanted to write a book for years, but then from having the idea of writing that book to it being in my hand was less than 6 months.
So, wow. So how did you go about the writing process? Was it just straight from your head to the page, or did you meticulously plan it? Or how did you?
I'd like to say I meticulously planned it. I didn't, I really would. And I did to a certain extent to start with. I had I did a big mind map and worked out, you know, what I could tell, what I could talk about and so on. But the structure did change as the book went on, as I started to write and realised that some bits were getting repeated and it was, you know, not flowing well. I then had to sort of stand back and regroup and ended up with the formula that I've got for it now, which is essentially two halves. I've got all the stories at the front of the book and then a very definite step-by-step how-to guide at the second half of the book. So that worked really, really well, and people have enjoyed reading it that way. Whereas what I was trying to do before was trying to weave the stories all the time into the how-to, which means it gets very muddly because it's very difficult to tell a story without telling all the steps. So I found like I was telling all the steps and then telling the steps. You know, it was messy. So, yeah, I ended up changing the structure. How I actually got the writing done was a useful thing to share with your listeners, because I actually took a week off work to write the book. I'm a trainer, corporate trainer, customer service, sales, leadership, all that sort of thing, but all big corporates. And I took a week off work and I thought, right, and I sat at home in front of my computer and I thought, right, I'll just clear these emails before I start and I'll just do this before I start. I need my desk. Suddenly I needed my desk to be excruciatingly tidy before I started.
Was there a little bit of procrastination going in there? Going on there?
You know, yeah, procrastinating or something like that. You don't realise you're doing it. You think, you know, you're just clearing the deck so you can have a full focused mind. But of course, the trouble with emails is they never go away because you clear them and then people answer them. And 2 days into my week off, I was actually going, I'm in trouble. This, I didn't have any help at this point. I thought, I'm in trouble. I'm actually not even started the book yet. And now I've only got 5 days left. And I actually put in a cosmic order. I put in a cosmic order for the person, resource or situation to help me get this finished. And what happened was an email came into my inbox and the title of it was How to Write Your Book in a Weekend. And I was like, what? What? I've given myself a week and I thought I was being really ambitious. And here it was saying weekend. And I opened it up and it was someone I didn't follow, didn't know. But it was a blog post and the blog post was interviewing authors specifically on how they got their writing done when they were busy. And it was fascinating. I couldn't even tell you who the authors were now, but there were various famous names all giving a few tips. And one of the tips was get out of the house. Get out of the house, get away from your phone, get away from your email and go. I think it was J.K. Rowling that was saying she sat in a coffee shop and wrote Harry Potter, you know, drinking their coffee and all of that. And I thought, oh, I'm only just up the road from a hotel. I could do that. And then at the end of this particular blog post, were clearly it was advertising for somebody's book program, and there were just loads of people holding their book going, I wrote this in a weekend, I wrote this in a weekend, you know, with a picture of their book. And that was as powerful to me as anything else, because I realised now, you're quite right to say procrastination, of course it was, which is all around fear. And the fear was, who am I to write a book? Am I good enough? And so whilst the tip of going to the hotel was valuable, what was just as valuable was seeing all of those people, all different ages, all different sort of backgrounds, all different abilities going, I wrote my book in a weekend. And it was that moment where you go, well, if you lot can do it. And suddenly from going, oh my God, I've only got 5 days left. I was now going, they did it all in a weekend. I've got 5 days. So I was suddenly, it was a complete mind shift. I was suddenly very excited about having 5 days rather than the opposite. So, and that was what happened. I went then to the hotel up the road, wrote between 2,000 and 6,000 words a day there, got the job done.
Yeah, it's. I think that's a really good way to do it. My book, yeah, I'd been messing around at home, getting nowhere with it. I had the plan, I had the information I needed, but I just couldn't find. It was like there was always something to do. There was always a meal to cook, or washing up to do, or work to do, or emails to answer, or kids to, you know, pay attention to. And I ended up going off to Brighton for a couple of days, and I booked an Airbnb. And I think the minute I got on the train, that was the start of my writing weekend. I thought, I'm paying this money, I'm taking time out to do it, and I have to get on with it. And yeah, I started writing it on the train, and I was away 2 days, and I came back and I'd written about 15,000 words, and just because I had that space and time, and this is my time to write my book, and nothing is going to stop me from doing it, kind of thing. It's a really useful way to go about it.
That's actually genius, and that's taking it a level further, isn't it? That's not just going to the hotel up the road, that's booking yourself in, so completely immersing yourself. I love that.
It was pretty much a writing retreat, really. I mean, okay, my daughter was at university in Brighton, so I did see her as well. So I had another reason for being there. But So after you did this amazing writing your book in a week, how did you go about getting it published? What route did it take from there?
Well, I was extraordinarily lucky there because I didn't know anybody in the publishing industry at all and didn't know even how to begin the whole process. But I was introduced to a lovely lady who had just published her book. And that was exactly what I needed, just someone who was just that much further ahead in the journey than me. And I went to actually, it was beautifully timed because I was introduced to her. She'd finished the book, it was published, and she was just about to have her book launch. So I ended up going to her book launch. And I didn't approach her right there and then and say, could you give me some tips? But I just sort of hung around and got to know her a little bit. And I liked the, not just her book, but I liked the look of her book. I liked the way, I liked the size, I liked the format, I liked the style, although it was a very different book to mine. Anyway, we became friends and she gave me lots of help and advice. And most importantly, she introduced me to her publisher, a wonderful proofreader and editor. Wonder who that could be. And also introduced me to an artist who I actually then went on to have her design and paint the book cover as well. So in one fell swoop, if you like, I was sort of introduced to the whole team. So that was brilliant. And the publisher was Wilson King Publishing in Oxford, which was super. Yeah, so it felt like a real publisher, which was quite cool.
Yeah. Did you put out a cosmic order then to find of that next course. Step?
I didn't keep saying that, but of course I did.
So Wilson King was your first publisher, and presumably they organised distribution to Amazon and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So we did what was a, kind of a hybrid deal. So I knew that I would sell a lot of books speaking, going out and about. So I wanted my own books. So what Chris Wilson of Wilson King did was if memory serves me right, he bought 500, I bought 500, and that got us a really good price from the printer. Because this is all pre, now it's all on Amazon, we can talk about that in a sec, but this was when, printers did it, So, and this, of course, is the risk for a lot of authors. They worry about having a whole garage full of printed books.
Yes.
I didn't have that worry because of all the speaking and I had no problem with that. So that happened, and that happened many times. And what Chris did was he put it on Amazon for me, as you quite rightly said, but I also put it on Amazon myself. He told me to. He said, put it on Amazon yourself, undercut me, put yourself as on as a seller, and then all the orders will come to you. Because let's face it, with a traditional publisher, they do it and sell it and what have you. You end up with about, I did get a couple of royalty checks, but you end up like about 50p a book. So I think my best royalty check from the publishers was like 50 quid, which is nice. But with the Amazon sales, they would come here and then I would sign the books and send them off. And that was lovely. I had a big folder with all the orders I'd sent off. And I always had this idea that I would do some marketing to them, of course, never got around to it. And then to sort of preempt your question that I'm not with that publisher now, you said my first publisher, it got a little tired. At the beginning, I was really excited taking big stacks of books to the pub, to the post office. It was, it's an ego thing, isn't it? You go, oh, these are all my books, all stamped with little stickers going, another amazing book from, And then after a while, you go, bored with this now. And everything changed with Amazon, didn't it? Because it used to be Kindle and then, was it CreateSpace?
Yes, CreateSpace.
Yeah, so it was a separate thing, wasn't it? And then they brought it all together and made it so much easier. And then you and I had a lovely conversation and you said you'd take care of it for me. So I was like, yes, please. So now it's all on Amazon with the Author Central, everything. And I have to say, what a joy, because now don't have to worry about a thing, and Amazon send royalty checks. Not even checks now, it's just straight into your bank account. And you get your Kindle from all around the world, which is it's very, very exciting. And you can track it, but I never do, especially when it comes and it says you've got someone coming from India or Japan. And sometimes I go, ooh, and I look and it's all in Japanese, so whatever. I just, it arrives in the bank account, what can I say?
It is quite nice to go onto your dashboard though and say, oh, I've sold a book on Amazon in Mexico and a book on Amazon in Germany and a few books in Brazil and a few books in India. And it's kind of, whoa, yeah, I'm a global sensation.
We must have a conversation sometimes where you can show me how to look on the dashboard properly. I don't think properly. I have to say, I have a little email that comes, and I do know it's from different countries because of the ending of the email. So I can see that it's Germany or India or China or Canada, or so I can see a little bit. And then the money amounts just turn up in the bank account. So there's a lot to like about that.
Yeah. It is a very straightforward system. I mean, in terms of, you know, you said that you were sending them out individually, and you did have those details then, so you could have done follow-ups if you wanted to. And I know for some people I've talked to, they are doing it that way because it's important for them to have the names and addresses of the people that buy their book. But also, it's a lot of hassle, isn't it? And if you're not going to do anything with those names, it's kind of added.
Well, also GDPR has changed my shifting there as well, because yes, you might get those names, but that doesn't mean you can market to them. GDPR. Now, what's the smarter thing to do now is let Amazon do it and then put things in your book, like come to here to get a free template of that, or a video on that, or a masterclass on that, and give something away that supports the book, gives your readers extra added value, and they come and give you their email address, and they get the opportunity then to opt in, tick if they want a newsletter or marketing and stuff. So in actual fact, I probably have more people now actually properly on the website since Amazon and changing that methodology and doing it that way than I did when I've got a folder here of, you know, order slips, which I've actually never followed up.
So. Okay, yeah. And you know that you're covered by law because they've signed up. They've signed up voluntarily rather than they bought a book and now they're being bombarded with that.
Which actually, I think, is why I've never followed up, because whilst the marketing sense makes sense, there's a bit of me that never likes to be a pest or a nuisance anyway, long before GDPR. So hence why I've never done it. But when people come to you, they've read the book, they've loved it, and they want extra, that's a different feeling, isn't it? They've come to you. So you're then happy to keep in touch with them, and they're going to be the right people.
That feeds really, really nicely into what I want to ask you next, which is what's happened as a result of you writing this book then. So you've mentioned your website and people signing up for things. So it sounds like it's gone further than just the book.
And I didn't fully expect that, if I'm really, really honest. I almost thought that writing the book would kill the coaching that I was doing and the workshops, because if I put everything I knew into the book, which I did, then they didn't need to pay for coaching when they could just buy $14.99 book. And actually the opposite was true. That was a big misjudgment on my part. What happens, of course, is the book goes out to, once you've got past your own sort of family and friends and your own sphere of influence, off it goes around the world. You know, assuming that you've written a decent book that sort of does do that. And then you get people after you, and they're wanting you to appear on podcasts and radio shows, and then the whole thing just sort of snowballs. So, yeah, I mean, it was eight years ago, I think, now that I wrote the book. Oh, by the way, and what was really nice, the following year I won the Expert Authority Challenge and Author of the Year at the Women Inspiring Women National Awards, which was really nice. So that sort of launched it off again. And who knew? None of that was sort of on my agenda. So that was really good. So what happened was lots of people wanting training. I ended up writing courses, doing an online program. At the end of the courses, they wouldn't leave. They wanted to stay. They wanted more. So I ended up creating actually an online membership, which again is a really powerful way of people paying, lots and lots of people paying a little bit, like books, and it's a passive income. Not passive. Passive is the wrong word, really, because it's certainly not passive. You are there. You're supporting them. You're training them. You're doing things. And reoccurring income is probably a better word. Yeah. But it is certainly something that's I've been very grateful for, especially in these times with the pandemic. You know, almost a year we've been now, you know, with COVID, and March 23rd last year, when the first lockdown was launched, my whole training company, all the corporate training that I had booked in, was just email after email, cancel, 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 cancel. If that had been my only business, I would have been absolutely floored, because whilst the government's been really, really good here in the UK and given us the furlough, as a limited company, most of us with limited companies that are actually very small have been
minimum wage.
Yeah. So, you know, it's that wouldn't, you know, 80% of minimum wage was not going to, doesn't even cover the bills, you know, of the business, let alone mine.
Gosh, yeah.
But thank goodness I had a book and a business built around a book that actually, if anything, grew. I was very, very, who knew? You can't see what's coming in the future, but I was very glad I had that kind of safety net, which was really cool.
And have you written any more books? is that a touchy question?
It's an annoying question. I would love it if I said, yes, Alison, I had written loads more books. I have loads more books in my head, without a doubt. Here's what happened. When I finished writing the book, it's euphoric. You have your launch and I don't have children, but I could just draw parallels perhaps with, because I've always thought with mothers that have more than one child, I go, and knowing the sort of pain they went through, I go, how does that happen? How do they ever sign up for another one? And I sort of made me think it's the same with a book, because after I finished and had the launch and fabulous party and everything, I had about 10 books lined up straight away. You know, I could not wait. This was it, new career as an author. And so much so that I actually registered as a proper publisher. And I made Butterfly House Publishing back probably about 6-7 years ago. Bought 10 ISBN numbers and I was ready to go for my next book, which is still sitting in the filing cabinet. Don't ask me what it's called, because that's too embarrassing. Go on then, ask me what it is. It's called Get It Sorted, For Once, For All, For Good. And it does, the irony of the fact that Get It Sorted is not sorted is hilarious. I tell you how much, and this is confession now, I tell you how much I tried to make myself finish it. I actually registered the ISBN number properly with the name to launch in 2016. Yeah.
Okay.
And I had the British Library after me for copies of the book that I haven't written yet. And I had to ring them up and tell them that Get It Sorted isn't sorted yet.
Okay. Yeah. I really don't know what to say to that.
No, I know. But I tell you why that happened. It was because I didn't understand what was going to happen from the book. So I thought, you finish writing the book, you put it out there, you're done. Now you can start on another book. But what actually happened was the fallout and the wave of everything that happened from the book then took me on to that journey of actually leveraging the book with all the courses and the programs and the online and the membership and stuff. Now, having said that, none of that was wasted, because in this lockdown, what's happened is we got to that point where I just said to you just now, you know, okay, so my training company almost like frozen. March the 23rd, frozen. Thank goodness I've got this over here. And for a moment I thought, okay, so let me take the time that's freed up here and invest it into this business. But then I thought, I'm not sure I want to do, I love it. I absolutely love it as my hobby business, but I don't think I want it like for all, everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe now's the time to think about who I really want to work with and so on. And I realized that actually who I really felt the pull to work with was all the poor coaches and trainers who were just, their business had fallen away, because I didn't have the safety net of having a written, published book and online programs. So Butterfly House was already sitting there. I actually did a little bit of market research. I just went on, connected with a few people, talked to them about thinking about putting a program together to help trainers, speakers, coaches, therapists write their own business building book. And probably about 5 or 6 people asked me if I could coach them straight away.
Wow.
So... and 2 have already published. And of course, I already knew a fabulous proofreader and editor, so I didn't have to worry about that side of things. And that's what's happened. So now, actually, my business really is Butterfly House Publishing. That's what I'm leading with. Who knew? But that's where it's all going. So,
wow. So yeah. do you think that that book will find its way out into Butterfly House, or are you completely focused now on helping other people to write their books?
No, it will definitely find its way out into Butterfly House and all the others, because what's happening is two things. First of all, it is really, really uncomfortable coaching other people to get past their blocks and get their book finished when mine is sitting here in the drawer.
Yes.
Very difficult.
I can understand that. I can understand that there's a bit of a conflict.
I can lean on the fact that I wrote Cosmic Ordering in a week, fine. And actually, it's super, super valuable. I'm not sorry for any of this, because it's super valuable to say I've done it fast and I know what it's like to seriously procrastinate and not get it done. And I know which one pays better, the getting it fast and getting it out, yeah? And I know which one causes the most pain when it's stuck in a drawer not helping anyone. So, yes, Alison, to answer your question, this is probably the best thing in the world for me ever to get something done is to teach it, because I can't deal with the out of integrity of not doing what I'm teaching. And so if I'm teaching it soon, it will come to the point where it's so unbearable the damn thing will get done. So, yeah. It won't be long.
Your own clients will keep you accountable on writing your
exactly.
own book. Yeah,
exactly. What I'm actually planning to do is to do part of the program that I've written the program. It's called Passion to Publish. It's a 6-month program, and at the moment I'm creating the sales page and so on. And part of that is there'll be, you know, you said about writing retreats. Mm-hmm. Well, most of us can't always take a week off and go and, you know, book an Airbnb, especially at the moment we're all stuck at home on Zoom. But what we can do is do some virtual retreats on Zoom, where we are all come together and we're all right together, but we're all just sort of in the Zoom room. So that's my plan. It's going to be called Right Here, Right Now, and we'll do Right Here, Right Now days as part of it. And while they're writing and it's for them, I can get on with mine as well. So yeah, that's the plan.
There we go. Yeah, I can remember. Yeah, just a general rule in business is if you have things to do yourself, you should treat them like you treat things you do for your clients. But it's so easy for us to say, do you know what? No, that thing of mine, that can wait. That can wait. But yeah, sometimes we do need to treat ourselves like our own clients, don't we? And
definitely. So that's the plan. So I am actually going to be in the group with everybody else, you know, getting mine done. And it's just too shoddy if I don't get mine done, isn't it? I've got no leverage on them then. So
yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing it. I look forward to seeing it in a week's time.
In about a week's time, but you will see it, of course, because when it's ready to be published, when it's ready to be proofread and edited, well, you know it's going to be coming to you. So
yeah.
Wouldn't be anywhere else.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I was going to say, what did you learn about yourself as a result of writing the book? But actually, what have you learned about yourself as a result of writing the book and then everything that has come as a result of that?
Whoa. It's really interesting. I've learned that I have the capacity to be extraordinarily focused and achieve something in a very short space of time. And then, of course, with the other side, I've learned that I have an extraordinary capacity to go completely off the rails and abandon things. And I think we all have that. I think we all have that capacity to be both of those people. And it just comes down to a choice and making a priority of what is going to be the most important. And then really putting all your eggs in. I was listening actually to a podcast this morning, and it was talking about the myth of multitasking. And I was just laughing listening to it, because they are proving now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, how amazingly rubbish our brain is at multitasking, and that we have something called decision fatigue. And it's really, really interesting. And so Yeah, what I've learned most about myself is I cannot multitask, and therefore if I'm going to do something, it has to be the singular priority. And actually, to get it done fast is a good thing.
Fast doesn't mean shoddy,
it just means complete focus on it.
So make that decision to do something and then just go for it, to the exclusion of everything else. Just make that your singular focus.
Take snacks and coffee with you, and then, you know, or like I did, go to the hotel and let them bring you snacks and coffee. And don't take much else. And just get it done.
Get it done. Yes, that's the that's so often the thing, isn't it? Just do it. Just get on with it and do
it. And don't worry about what. I know what worried me. It was like, you know, other people have written a book about that. Who's my book? But, you know, I was talking to this to someone else the other day, and I was thinking, here I am listening to a podcast on mind and brain again, you know, and I've been studying that for 30 odd years, and I'll still buy a new book on it. You know, it doesn't matter that there are people that have written books that are in the same genre or even similar. You know, a book is a really cost-effective, I mean, it's nothing, is it? It's not even a pizza. You know, and people will buy different people's books, and some people will love this book. Some people big up this book and put great reviews. Other people go, no, not my thing. Doesn't matter. There's so many people in the world. And, you know, you don't need that many to, you know, in sort of comparison to become a bestseller. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to please everybody, I think, is a real big key. You know, that people think they've got to write a book that's going to be just for everybody, and it just doesn't work that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really good advice, actually, for anyone thinking about writing a book. You said earlier that there was that whole thing about, well, why should I be writing a book? What is it about me that means I can write a book? And I think a lot of people do have that. They think, well, okay, I know some stuff, but everybody knows this stuff, and what makes me special that I should be putting my stuff out there?
Yeah, two things there. First of all, when we know stuff, we think, if we know it, and especially if we've known it a long while, we think everybody knows that stuff, and everybody doesn't know that stuff. We know stuff that other people don't know, just like they know stuff that we don't know. Nobody knows everything. But just because it's commonplace or even easy to you doesn't mean it's commonplace and easy to everybody else as well. The other thing is, no matter what you're talking about, no one can say it in your voice. No, especially if you're weaving your life experience into it. And I quite encourage that. You know, some of the books that I love, that are some of them quite detailed and quite, you know, important stuff, but the author is still weaving their personal story and their personal take into it. And that is a much more accessible book to me than just reading like a textbook. And no one can share that story because your story is unique.
No, that's very true. That's very true. Have you got any other advice that you would pass on to anyone listening to this who's maybe thinking about writing a book or has started and got stuck partway?
Well, two things obviously spring to mind. One is, do have someone to support you. Trying to do it all on your own, I think, is challenging, just because it is easy to procrastinate and get distracted. And once you've fallen off the wagon, then it can get harder and harder and harder to get back on again. So whoever it is, whether it's, you know, someone like yourself or me who is, you know, running a program or a coaching, you know, and has a methodology, or even if it's just a really, really good friend, you know, but someone to hold you accountable in the beginning is really important. And then the second thing is, absolutely, when it comes to the publishing part, make sure you have a proper proofread and editor. Without any shadow. No, I don't say that just because you're doing the podcast. I absolutely mean it. No, because I've picked up books. I've, you know, haven't you?
I've
picked up in bookstores, but on Amazon particularly, or even, you know, where I've gone networking and someone says, oh, I've written a book, and I just love to support people. So, well, I'll buy a copy of your book. And it could be a really good book. I've got one at the moment. She was online. I followed some posts that she did and we chatted a bit, and she said she'd written a book. I really liked her, so I bought her book. It ought to be a good book. Oh, it's driving me mad, because it's waffles and some of the grammar is poor. And I don't mean to be judgmental there, you know, because, you know, we all have different education and some people, and it doesn't matter. That's the key. I don't want to make that sound judgmental, as in don't not write your book because you don't think I'm good at English. Please write it. I've got someone I'm helping now who's dyslexic. But have your proper proofreading editor to sort that out for you, because if it goes through to print that way, it just gets in the way of the reader's experience, and then they can't enjoy it and get from the message in the way that they should be, because they're constantly tripping up over the language. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, I think there are a lot of people who yes, have amazing stories, amazing ideas, a wealth of information that they want to share, but they are, yes, either they write it and they don't get anybody to check it and their writing's not brilliant, but just with a few little tweaks, it could be a really good book. Or they don't write it because they think, well, I'm not a writer, my spelling's not good, I can't do grammar, I can't do punctuation, so I'm not going to bother in the first place. And that's why editors and proofreaders exist. You know, our role in life is to take that book and to turn it into something that reads really well, that doesn't have mistakes in it, but is still in your voice. And that's what we do. And it does mean that, yeah, anyone, regardless of your writing ability, you can write a book, so long as you take that step of giving it to somebody who can tidy it up for you.
And actually, that phrase that you just used, it's still in your voice, that's really important. And I got a couple of quick tips on that, because I do think that is crucial. And one of the nicest compliments that I have over and over and over and over again about my book is people say, oh my God, I just, you know, they'll email in the middle of reading it and go, I just got to tell you, it's like you're in the room with me. It's like you're my private coach. And the reason that was, how I did it was, when I was at the hotel, I sat on the sofa and I hand wrote it. I hand wrote it as if, and I wrote as fast as I could, as if the person I was telling the stories to or coaching was sitting on the sofa with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was how I did it. Now, if you've got someone who is dyslexic or really feels they can't write, then why not talk into a tape recorder? Yeah, why not? There's so many sort of apps now that allow you to do that. Why not talk it and then have someone type it up for you if necessary? And then you do your fabulous job on, you know, editing it and making it, as you say, still in their voice, but nice and correct as well. Yeah.
That's a brilliant tip, to write it up, because we don't tend to write how we speak, do we? We tend to have a different, we do tend to sort of become a bit more formal and a bit more proper when we're writing something. It's really easy. Yeah. It's really easy to think, oh, I'm writing, so I have to get all the grammar right and I have to get everything right. And you end up, I've come across books where people have been writing speech, but they don't use contractions. So it's, I cannot go there today. I do not want to do that. We don't talk like that, you know. We're much more casual and relaxed in the way we speak. And if you write it, you tend to lose that informality that you are likely to have in your actual natural voice.
I agree. I love contractions. It often makes it easier to read as well. Otherwise, you sort of trip over things. But the contractions make sense. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, just makes it more human. Excuse my dogs. They obviously think that you're having a lot of... They want to be part of the conversation as well. Thank you so much for all that advice, Ellen. I'm sure it's going to be really, really helpful for anybody listening to this who's thinking about writing a book. And thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast today. It's been really lovely to catch up with you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And it has been lovely catching up. And I know we talk anyway, because we're now working together and all of that. But it's really, really nice to come and talk about the whole journey today, because it's amazing how far it's all come, isn't it?
It's been fascinating to hear about it. Ellen Watts, thank you ever so much.
Pleasure.
Thanks to Ellen for being my guest on the podcast today. I forgot to ask her where you can find her online. Tut tut, slap wrist for me. Anyway, you can find out all about Ellen, her book Cosmic Ordering Made Easier, and her cosmic ordering training at www.ellen-unlimited.com. That's ellen-unlimited.com. And her publishing company, Butterfly House, is at www.butterflyhousepublishing.com. You can, of course, also buy Cosmic Ordering Made Easier on Amazon. Just search for the book or for Ellen Watts. That's Ellen with two L's and Watts, W-A-T-T-S. You can find out more about me and the services I offer authors on my website, www.theproofferry.com. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with information on how you could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and review it. This has been a Proof Fairy production in collaboration with the dogs, who had an awful lot to say this week. And I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author.